everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Go Away says, does this mean JF is going to drop DeSantis and get back on the Trump train? I'm neither excited about DeSantis nor Trump. I tend toward DeSantis, but I now understand, given the surveys, that DeSantis doesn't seem like an option. It does seem like there's not going to be enough support for him to beat Donald Trump. And so, I mean, we're going to end up with Donald Trump. As I was concluding with Richard Spencer on his show a few days ago, I don't think there's anything we can do about it. And so even supporting DeSantis at this point means nothing. I would have thought that DeSantis would do a better president, but slightly better. But you have to face the fact that Trump is just very popular. People remember Trump. People remember a different era. In fact, someone was saying a reminder of what peace looks like. I mean, look at this. Alice in Wonderland says, microphone minor contact problem. Do you mean, is my microphone okay? It seems okay from a visual perspective. Maybe I wasn't speaking straight into it. But I did play with some of the settings of my audio just before the show. So let me know if that's what you are referring to. We're just a few more jailed podcasters away from the long-promised multicultural utopia, folks. Okay, peaking a bit. Hello, hello. Yeah, it's weird. Hello. Yeah. Oh my god. Hello. Yeah. Test. Hello. 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 Yeah. Okay. Hello. Test. Yeah, I had played with a lot of settings. And so I wasn't properly set. Now I've had the chance to bring it back to the usual. Morgoth says, we're just a few more jailed podcasters away from the long-promised multicultural utopia, folks. UK white supremacists jailed over racist podcast. Not surprising from the UK, but yeah, so that is James Allchurch. Apparently, for distributing material to stir up racial hatred. And someone was pointing out, why aren't the mainstream media getting sued under this law? I mean, it does seem like, is craft beer still too white? GOP soul-searching, too old, too white, too male? White trash, angry white men? How is that not appeal to racial hatred? How does that not cause racial hatred? But it seems that James Allchurch here will be spending 2.5 years in jail for podcasting. I don't even know what he said and what his podcast is about. I have no idea who that person is. I, hypocrite, as sent a meme, stop grooming kids, says the Patriot Front guy with muscles, in good shape and well-dressed. And the retards of the center-right are like, fed. That is so funny. That is really the current situation. The people who are calling the Patriot Front guys fed are fans of transsexuals, conservative values, That is very well designed as a meme. Aquanaut says, any nation that restricts you from categorizing bad people as bad is a nation that wants you to live in squalor. Yeah, there is so much censorship and intimidation from the law. Definitely, that is happening. Despite our system claiming that it is about freedom, free speech, free thought, free association, you really don't get any of these freedoms if you're a white person. Nothing like the sun says, I don't know what to say because I might get sent to prison for saying it. Well, it seems that you can get sent to prison for podcasting. James Altchurch denied 15 counts of distributing a recording stirring up racial hatred. He was found guilty of 10 counts and not guilty on 5. The 51-year-old uploaded the podcast to his Radio Aryan website, since rebranded Radio Albion. I think I've seen Radio Albion. I have seen this somewhere, but I don't remember watching any of this. But we don't even get to know. What did he say? Highly racist, anti-Semitic, and white supremacist in nature. All right, well, they say that he said threats of violence, but it's very hard to know what were the words that he used, was it as part of a joke? Sometimes, you know, there is such things as dark humor on the internet. And I would have liked to see the quotes. Blanket says, JF, did you notice everyone of those people in PF were wearing masks? No conservative wears masks, especially a group of conservatives. Well, people are bringing this up. Patriot Front has always worn masks. And that is fine to me. The problem of those people, you want him to remove his mask, but you're not removing your mask. You're right here on my chat with a pseudonym, Blankets. You're wearing a mask. What's your real name? Don't say it. But like, do you realize that people are not entitled to know your identity so that they can ruin your life? And it's a perfectly fine thing to do. If you're going to participate to a march like this to hide your identity, why would you criticize this if you feel that you are on the right? Why would you say you can't speak up about issues on the right unless you fully show your face so that they can ruin your family, ruin your life, attack your wife, attack your children, remove your children from you, attack your job, call your employers. Why? Why do you want this for anyone who wants to speak up? I am totally fine with anonymity being pursued. New guy says, you don't wear the uniform of the enemy. Neon Blacksmith says, Antifa hides their identity. Why can't we? Yeah, it's just unreasonable to be asking someone to not only speak up for a cause, but also do it at massive threat to his personal life. I was glad to see a meme emerging from Anna Hayes. It's been a while since she came on the show. The porn star Anna Hayes appears to have rectified her life, now works in an office and everything. She still has those eyes that are indicating like, holy shit, this woman is on drugs. But I don't know if that's something she truly said, but it was a meme that people shared on the Discord. I tested negative for coronavirus. I know there are people sitting on here trying to change my mind about getting it. There isn't enough research on the subject. Plus, it doesn't make a difference if you get it or not. You can still get the virus. So Anna Hayes would be a pure blood unvaxxed. I'm happy for her. Anyways, I'm happy to see her, you know, not being pounded by 7 black guys. I think it's good to see her in a more mundane situation, sitting at a desk. Go Away says, would you hire an ex-porn star as your receptionist? I would. Definitely. The whole idea of a receptionist is the same as a porn star. So it's like there's lots of overlap in the talents that you have to have in both jobs. Boobs, ass, female. Those are the things you need. Aquanote says, there is no way Anna Hayes has rectified her life. This is all performative. I've personally known sex workers, and multiple have found Jesus to get people off their case while they continue doing drugs and whoring themselves out. Well, yeah, I mean, I could kind of guess. I mean, like, I'm a professional computer guy. Like, I live on the internet. And let me tell you, this is not a woman working at a computer. This is a woman faking working at a computer. Like, you see the way she holds the mouse? You know the word you just used, performative? I see a performative holding of a mouse here. I don't know. I don't even know exactly what my eyes see. But I know that this is not serious handling of a mouse. You would never get your mouse at the border of the desk if you're continually using the computer. You don't have your fingers like that above the keyboard. So no, clearly I agree with your analysis. This is the office of someone else, and she just sat there for 2 seconds for the picture. Nothing Like the Sun says, there are many women who are faking working at a computer. It is called feminism. Yeah, that is a big problem. The government is willing to engage so many of them. It's crazy. Frontier justice is the only way for decent, law-abiding Americans to protect their businesses from robbers, looters, and rioters. A video here. I may have seen this in the past. I think it's an old video. It's amazing how we see the guy. So this guy is coming with a gun to steal. He pulls the gun. Now, this guy somehow is so chill. He just stays there. I like the way they had a strategy to shoot him. This guy is just chilling there, and he receives a bag, and he's like, what? And so he's like, okay, I'm going to give you stuff. Now, this is amazing. This guy comes kneeling, and somehow it doesn't alarm this guy. Now, he pulls a gun from his belt or something. Pow, pow, boom, boom, boom. Wow, now you got 12 bullets inside of you, my friend. Unfortunately, we can do this less and less. I don't even know if you can do this in Canada and not be prosecuted. It's getting very hard to defend your property. But in this case, he had a gun, so I think it's totally fair in self-defense to shoot someone who's threatening your life. Paul Golding says, black militant racist openly calls for the murder of white children, and a supporter shouts, kill them all. Zero mainstream media coverage. Yeah, we're totally in a planning for genocide here. Those are black extremists.
To hell with what National Geographic putting out. I'm telling you to your face here tonight, we're going to have to kill some little Penelope and some little Robbies.
We're gonna have to kill some little Penelopes and some little Robbies.
You wanna be free, don't you?
You wanna be free, don't you?
Y'all bullshitting me. Not sound like that.
Why we gotta kill them?
Kill them all.
You don't wanna be free sounding like that. Do you wanna be free?
Yeah.
Do you wanna be free?
Yes, sir.
Do you wanna be free?
Yeah.
That's why I've got to fight this crap. Regardless to how you feel about me. Regardless to how anybody in this damn world feels about me. I'm going to fight this goddamn white man. Whether you like it or not. I believe in the death and destruction of white people.
I believe in the death and destruction of white people. Well, you know, and this is not something I say. I was just clarifying his language for you guys. Chuck Garrity says he is sick. He is unfortunately pretty normal. I mean, when you see the reasons that criminals give, like yesterday we had a case that I covered on the show. It's like, well, we just wanted to kill white people. This is not so out there to be this kind of black extremist who just hates white people. And you have to understand that no matter how much of a minority this would be in the current population, it doesn't require much things to go wrong before this is a like 80% of the black population. It doesn't require much societal destabilization and despair and availability of guns before this builds into a fully confrontational race war, basically. Yes, maybe not all black people would hold this discourse today. In that sense, he's a little sick. He's a little weird. He's a little ahead of his time. But can you really say for sure that in 50 years and 100 years from now, that is not the mainstream view in the community? I'm not sure of that. In fact, I'm afraid that it's not the case. this guy had a moment of total honesty about governments printing money versus Bitcoin bros printing money.
Crypto bros make money literally by making money, and they've made over $1 trillion out of thin air. They'll accuse the U.S. government of making money out of thin air. Maybe we do, but we're the U.S. government.
Moment of total honesty. It's like, these people are making a lot of money, and they're really literally printing it out of thin air. Now, people would tell you that we do. It's true, we do. But we're the government. That is such a circular, self-justifying monopoly argument. It's beautiful to see it. To see that the Fed doesn't care about saying it that clear. Well, the Fed, here it's a representative, but it was speaking as part of these circles of Fed-related controls by the government. And, well, I appreciate the honesty. What the fuck? BitPay. I mean, this is something we're seeing more and more. There is currently a governmental attack on any ramp out of crypto. They are working very hard on the ramp out. That is why we saw Binance had to pull from Canada. They are working to have the least possible options to sell your Bitcoin. They're somewhat trying to interfere with the ramp-in, but the ramp-in still subsides. So we will have ability to put money into Bitcoin, but it's going to get harder and harder to use Bitcoin, to interact from the Bitcoin economy into the real world. And so we saw BitPay, this was a card that you could load with Bitcoins, and then you could pay expenses with it. Dear cardholder, thank you for being a valued BitPay cardholder. Our bank partner, Metropolitan Commercial Bank, and BitPay have decided to discontinue the current BitPay prepaid MasterCard program. This decision impacts your current card, including your ability to load and use the card. Please read the following as it contains important dates pertaining to our decision to discontinue the BitPay card program. So they are making it harder and harder for the Bitcoin economy and the regular economy to function. I'm afraid that this could hurt Bitcoin in the long run. I'm afraid that the fears of potential government regulation and government putting their dirty hands into the Bitcoin economy and interfering with everything they can, I'm afraid that this will have a chilling effect on the Bitcoin market and perhaps not lead to as many profits as it has led to in the past bull runs. That being said, I have chosen my life with Bitcoin. So I'm not going to abandon Bitcoin because of it. But certainly, in the current possible future paradigms of legislation, regulation, and lawsuits, the crypto economy is looking like it's going to have to sustain a massive attack. I'm still keeping my Bitcoin. I'm still not abandoning Bitcoin for this. Landolt Guntram says, do not spend BTC, just accumulate. Spend the inferior currencies instead. Well, I mean, definitely, that is what you want to do in general, but eventually, you're doing all this Bitcoin saving for a reason. You would like to eventually sell those Bitcoins to, I don't know, buy a house, just be happy, to just pay yourself something that you've always dreamed of, and they are making this difficult. Tim, the Subway Reaper pool, just donated $20,000 to Daniel Penny's defense fund. Penny is the Subway Good Samaritan, and we are lucky to have brave souls like him who are willing to do the right thing. Whoa! Well, I was not ready for this. I was not ready for Tim Pool to somehow dog whistle that what's the right thing here, Tim? Is Tim Pool suggesting? I'm asking the question. Is Tim Pool suggesting that the right thing was to kill this man? Or is Tim Pool saying that neutralizing this man was the right thing and that the killing was an accident? In any case, I don't want to give too much trouble to Tim Pool because ultimately, I think that there is a good argument to be made that someone had to intervene. Someone had to stop this man from threatening people constantly on the metro, from accumulating hate and anger and eventually being so open and explicit about, I want to kill people. I don't care if I go to jail. Chuck Garrity says, is Tim okay, bro? I mean, even I wouldn't say that Daniel Penny has done just the right thing without context, because Daniel Penny does appear to have held to a chokehold a little too long. Now, of course, I think he should get a fair hearing on the circumstances. Did he know that he was that the other was unconscious already, or did he continue to the point where he thought he was still conscious? In any case, it was a very long chokehold that had an unnecessary couple of seconds or maybe up to 30 seconds at the end, according to my review of the video. So I don't know that it's a fair thing to say that he did the right thing. He held a chokehold too long. That is his error. Now, is that murder? Is that intentional murder? Certainly not, in my view. But there has been some carelessness in his application of the chokehold, which deserves a trial, you know, and I want him to get the best chance possible, and I would be happy if he gets found not guilty, because I don't see the point of ruining the life of a man like this, who just found himself in a situation where errors are easy to commit. Aquanote says, honestly, Tim Pool is probably just too unintelligent to form a solid opinion on this matter. He talks quickly, but it's surprising how uneducated he is. Yes, Tim Pool, I don't know. He surfs on the provocativeness. He likes to go on Twitter and say anything, basically, and he often gets out of it by saying, oh, it's all sarcasm, you know, I don't really care about Twitter. But the fact is, this is a serious subject. There's a serious legal question here. On the one hand, I don't want people who take action to defend the community properly to be punished for it. On the other hand, I don't want random people to be able to chokehold me and not be punished if they hold to the chokehold for minutes after I'm unconscious, you know? So that is the legal tension here. Dead Star says, Ohio's got a Republican governor, House, Senate, Supreme Court, yet have made zero effort to restrict the public universities under their control from spending hundreds of millions on diversity officers. Apparently, DeSantis put an end to that in Florida today. That's good news. Yeah, I saw this news a couple of days ago. DEI being excluded from Florida. Yes, it is good. And yes, though those states like Ohio, no matter whether they are under Republican power, they are under such a centrist Republican power that it's actually very hard to get DeSantis-style legislation in those states. There's really a difference between a state like Georgia being Republican. And then those are states of the South with high black populations. Republicans there is different. It's a bunch of conservative blacks allying with a bunch of basically racist white people, which is such an overused term that it may sound funny, but that's what's happening there. If you go into the states of the Northeast, it's very much, if you have a Republican state at all there, it's going to be a Republican state of very much centrism, of almost Democrat-like management. It's only in a couple of places of in the middle of the U.S. and a little bit to the west and north where you have states like South Dakota that are and Utah that are religiously conservative with all of the package that you would expect as social conservatism, white social conservatism. Because you're going to go in Georgia, you're going to get a form of black conservatism, black social conservatism, but it is very different. You know, this guy, I always questioned his reliability because he always comes out with minute-by-minute intelligence. And he comes out with these big news like, sources say Soros seriously sick. What the fuck? There's five S's. Each of the words in this sentence start with S. Sources say Soros seriously sick. His body is simply giving out, said a person close to the family on condition their name not be used. And yet you have George Soros today, this morning, saying, rumors that I had a heart attack are completely false. I am alive and healthy. Well, We're going to have to wait a little more for the death of George Soros. Now, I don't think it's so bad that we have to wait for him to die, because I think that at the moment of his death, there will be a flow of money into so much crap, so much leftist crap, you won't believe it. It's going to really suck. People are going to get paid, not by George Soros himself, who may still be there, you know, to evaluate the profitability of his investments. But once he's gone, this is all going to charity and world-changing things and BLM. And there's going to be so much fraud and so many people having to speak on the public space for qualifying for this or that grant. Go away, says Jeff. Last week, Daniel Perry was convicted and sentenced to 25 years for defending himself at a BML protest in Austin. Now, Daniel Penny is charged with defending others on a subway in New York. Do you see that this is all manufactured theater now? Well, first, this case from Austin, if it's the one I'm thinking, it's the one where there was literally a guy with an AK-47 pointed to the face of this man. So that, to me, is a case that shouldn't at all have been found guilty. That, to me, is a case of obvious self-defense. Obvious. If as part of a chaotic crowd, one member of the chaotic crowd starts becoming visibly violent toward you, points an AK-47 toward you, as part of the crowd being violent toward you, I don't see how it's possible to be found guilty in that context of defending yourself. The case of Daniel Penny is very different. Daniel Penny, it's a subtlety. It's the subtlety because there was no gun to his head. Daniel Penny was not trying, probably, to murder the guy, but he was trying to chokehold him to the point of neutralizing him. But that chokehold was applied for too long. Now, there's questions of intent. There's question of degrees of neglect in a manslaughter case. And all of it should be examined in a trial. But the other case from Austin, Texas, there shouldn't even be a trial about this. If someone points a gun toward you, and you have good grounds to believe that they want to commit evil against you, that they're not merely pointing a gun toward you to arrest you like a policeman would, but that they are truly intent on pulling that trigger, you are totally justified to defend yourself. Nothing like the sun, says Jeff. Consider how the Ford Foundation went leftist after his death. Esther is deaf. After Soros passes, will his foundation similarly go further left? If so, what can we expect? That's exactly what I think will happen. Because no matter what Soros organizes as a way of managing his money flow, it's going to be other people managing his money. And it's going to be... It's going to slide toward whatever these milieus are currently sliding toward, which is extreme far leftism. So I think this is what can we expect? We can expect basically the far left will have a backup. The far left will be supported by flows of money coming from the death of George Soros, perhaps for decades. Perhaps for a decade, I don't know. It depends on how he orders the management of his money. But it's all going to be toward BLM type stuff. And it's going to be even more extreme than what he could do while alive. Because while alive, I'm sure that he was applying some kind of dupe, some kind of due diligence in reviewing the quality of what he was funding. But while dead, he can't. Goway says, Jeff, my point is some Fed agency wrote a script and accidentally sent it to two districts, and the only difference in the drafts was they changed the last name of the Fed actor from Penny to Perry. I see this kind of conspiratorial thinking every day. Like, oh, this is all a script, and it's based on like one name or something like this, or the numbers, like, oh, the address of the guy is 666. And all of this thinking is extremely bad, extremely wrong, and is misleading people. And it's misleading people with a conspiratorial mind toward unproductive lines of reasoning and research. So I'm totally against this go away. I don't know if you're trolling, but no, I don't think that because two names happen to randomly resemble each other, that it's a script by the feds. Give me 10 seconds, I'll be back. All right. Mayim Bialik, the star from The Big Bang Theory, is taking a temporary break of her hosting of Jeopardy because she wants to take this break in support and solidarity with the Writers Guild of America, who are on a strike. The simple fact that the Writers Guild of America has a union is worrying to me. It's probably why we don't get quality movies anymore and quality TV. What the fuck? You shouldn't have a union. You shouldn't be an employee as a writer. You should be selling your ideas on the free market. Like, if you have a good idea of a movie, if it's a very good idea, they pay you $1 million for it. If it's a bad idea, they pay you zero. That is how it should be. If these people have unions and that kind of stuff, I don't see. I can understand why TV and movies suck that much. Mulder says, why would writers have a union? The fuck? Yeah, I don't know how that works. Because it seems to me that your writing is worth how much you can make from the economics of selling that movie. Dead Star says, any chance Putin can set up an Escape the Woke mob program? Surely Putin wouldn't begrudge these folks a quiet life in St. Petersburg or Moscow. Well, life isn't perfect in Russia at all, you know. You may not have the American form of wokeism there, but you have as much of a destruction of society. you have a higher divorce rate in Russia, so don't think that you're gonna find necessarily a better society if you move to Russia. I don't think so. Miller Lite said to Bud Light, "Hold my beer," and decided to create a new ad campaign straight out of early 2010s, I Hate All Men Feminism. Oh, God.
Here's a little known fact. Women were among the very first to brew beer ever. From Mesopotamia to the Middle Ages to colonial America, women were the ones doing the brewing. Centuries later, how did the industry...
It's like, I don't think that's the case. I'm sure that they were somehow involved in the maintenance of the brewery activity. I'm sure that when the man was undertaking an enterprise of massive production of brewing, that there were females involved, but something tells me women don't have the experimentalist head to develop the whole process. I just don't see it. I have never seen a woman be interested at the mechanics of things to the point where she would be able to brew beer, like as a hobby or something. I've never seen this. If I go to the local market place where they sell these things, so brew yourself at home and that kind of stuff, it's a guy. It's a guy with pouches of hops, and he wants to sell me all this stuff. There is simply not in the woman mind the ability to be curious about the mechanics of the natural world.
Pay homage to the founding mothers of beer? They put us in bikinis.
Oh my God, the great insult. Get necked and a beer is being thrown over the back of a sexy lady on the beach. Get necked.
Wow. Look at this shit. Wild. It's time beer made it up to women.
Oh my God, a woman who has said the word shit.
So today, Miller Lite is on a mission to clean up not just their shit, but the whole beer industry's shit.
Shit again twice.
Miller Lite has been scouring the internet for all this shit and buying it back so that they can turn it into good shit for women brewers. Literally, good shit. How, you ask? Ladies, take it away.
First, we turn the bad shit into compost. Then we...
Oh my God. The woman... Let me explain what's happening here. The women are in a revolution against the ad material that was printing their boobs and ass to sell beer. No, it's not Babylon Bee. This is an actual ad. An actual commercial. So what do? They have cut those magazines to destroy them. You know what the Nazis were doing? Putting books on fire? Women are now doing this with the beer ads of the 90s. And they are cutting them in little pieces. And now they're composting them to farm worms.
We feed compost to worms, push out beautiful fertilizer.
So they have converted the boobs and asses that were printed on tin paper. They have converted this to masses of worms that produce natural fertilizers.
That good shit helps farmers grow quality.
And it's good shit. They have turned the shit of the magazines into the shit of the worms. And now the shit of the worms is feeding their good shit of hops so that they can produce beer. Like, listen to me, woman. This is not efficient. You are telling me that your source of energy for your farming relies on the exploitation of sexy women of the 90s charging you super high prices for each photo up. And you're going to tell me that this feeds a significant amount of worms, which in turn create a significant amount of shit that you can recycle in a sustainable way to farm your hops. I can see this came out of the mind of a woman, but I'm sure that it's not working also.
The hops, which is then donated to women brewers to make their own really good shit.
But there's definitely more shit out there. In your attic, in the garage, in your parents' basement. Send any shit you got into Miller Lite and they'll turn that into good shit too.
Oh. MillerLite.com/bad shit to good shit. You have got to be kidding me.
So here's to women, because without us, there would be no beer.
This never happened. This woman wasn't making beer. She was washing clothes with her little net here. You are doing revisionism here. No, this is so ridiculous. You're going to have people send you basically crappy cardboard of zero value through FedEx. They're going to pay like $12, $15, $20 to just carry this package of low quality, low value material, fibrous material to you, just so they can say, yeah, we're putting it to the patriarchy. Holy shit, that is absolutely ridiculous. Go away, says JF. Could this be grounds for an antitrust suit? I suspect that someone with an interest in Anheuser-Busch and Miller is forcing them to make this ad to take heat off Bud Light and normalize these leftist ads. Could be. I don't think there would be good legal grounds for an antitrust lawsuit, but what is on their mind? They probably want to grab their piece of this leftist market, whatever they imagine it is. Mark D's channel says, JF, the shredded magazines are only a medium in which they add vegetable scraps, most likely. Cardboard will work just as well. Well, yeah, that's the point. Anything would work there. You made it into a whole story that this is, we are recycling the exploitation of females. But the reality is, caring about what you actually put with the worms at any level will cost you more than just taking the local cardboard scraps that are available. That is not an economically sound strategy. COVID, but what do I expect? It's a bunch of women. Covey Killer Clown says, first Budweiser, now Miller. Sure, men want masculine woman. Women pushing babies out feel better. Well, anyways, these people are trying to sell beer to people who seriously don't have the money to buy it. So it's like, I don't know. They think that there's this hidden market, the hidden undeveloped market of 40-something lesbians with a lot of money in their bank account, and they're willing to buy a 12-pack of Miller Lite at the end of the week. Maybe. I mean, it's like, I'm a libertarian. You do your own research and you invest in the markets that you believe in. But I don't think it's going to be successful. I don't know. Is that a troll, this person? Dr. Carol X. Loons, PhD, she/him, GED alumni, POC ally, Recovery from White Conditioning, is an organization offering a 12-step program to recover from the social conditioning of white supremacy. The program is based on the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. The goal of the program is to help white people engage in daily introspection to catalyze social and racial justice-oriented action. The program is a lifelong journey, and participants are encouraged to upend everything in their lives as they work to overcome whiteness. Here's the program, Recovery from White Conditioning. I mean, the program appears to be on on the website, on a .umn.edu address. So it does seem like if the Twitter is a joker, it does seem that this PDF is real. Gathering acknowledgement, centering the wisdom from BIPOC voices. Oh, I finally get to know exactly what BIPOC means. Black, Indigenous, and People of Color. All right, now I know this. Speak your truth, but hold my heart while you do it. Accept that the feelings and issues raised will need to be continued. Respect that we are at different levels of development on these issues. We need to be creative and patient in holding our container to include a variety of experiences. I love how all of these speeches and conference that like anti-whiteness type of CRT, they all start with trying to disarm you from your usual rational processes. It's like this, for example. Accept that the feelings and issues raised will need to be continued. They're trying to disarm me of an elementary tool here, the tool of conclusivity. And when I examine an issue in politics, philosophy, science, mathematics, no matter what it is, I have to be able at any point to say, all right, I have heard enough. I have a judgment on this thing. It's crap or it's genius. Or yes, this proof in mathematics is valid, or no, it's invalid. There's definitely a flaw in it. That is the weapon of conclusivity. You need to be able to conclude, because if you're never able to conclude, you're always in this cycle of, oh well, you've not done enough. You need to work on your whiteness. You need to work on centering BIPOC voices a little more. So they try to disarm you from conclusivity, holding our container to include a variety of experience. They try to disarm you on the distinguishability. It's like, there are things that I don't want, that I want to reject outright. If there are things in conversations that if you come to me with this, to me, you're kind of you're a different species than me. It's like, okay, whatever you say after this, it doesn't fit my container. I reject your false premises. Now, you can't do this if you've been told that you have to hold your container to include a variety of experiences. What comes to mind when you hear the term white supremacy? The face of white supremacy. American History X. These guys holding torches. But also your sister. A historically based, institutionally perpetuated system of exploitation and oppression of continents, nations, and peoples of color by white peoples, for the purpose of maintaining a system of wealth, power, and privilege. White supremacy is ever present in our institutional and cultural assumptions that assign value, morality, goodness, and humanity to the white group, while casting people and communities of color as worthless, immoral, bad, inhuman, or undeserving. A spectrum of recovery. So this is the KKK, neo-Nazi. It's no grass. Somehow here, white supremacy is having no grass. But you have a lot of grass if you are in active recovery from white conditioning, healing ourselves and community, acting as an accomplice in dismantling systemic racism and white supremacy. Okay, well, it seems like the usual CRT content here. This whole idea that there is a recovery to be had from whiteness is wrong. It is just a pathologization of an entire group of people. I have not participated to the oppression of other continents. I have not put together institutions to oppress anyone, unless you want to argue that the laws that I support oppress you, but then I don't care. If you are oppressed by the laws against rape and murder, I'm sorry, but I'll keep oppressing you. And that's all I have to say about this. Aquanote says, literally all people, even non-whites, prefer fair complexions, blonde hair, and blue eyes. Everyone knows the truth. They just can't stand their feelings getting hurt. yeah, there's a lot of construct in there that's meant to kind of escape reality. The reality is, no matter how much you train people, people will still converge toward having personal and sexual preferences that are advantageous to them. So there's no farming out whiteness the way you think you can do with this PDF. Because the fact is, white people want to date white people because it's to their advantage. And there's various evolutionary strategies, and it's not necessarily a good one to choose away from what is the best choice to be made objectively from a natural selection perspective. Go away, says JF, oppress people every day with the block function on Odyssey and Twitter. Okay, that's legitimate oppression. Yes, I do it. I have freedom of hearing. I have freedom of engaging with the people I want and not engaging with the people I don't want. Keith Olbermann says, breaking sexual abuse suit against Rudy Giuliani includes bombshell allegation. Giuliani told alleged victim he was selling pardons for $2 million each, which he and Trump would split, and she has recordings and emails. He also asked Miss Dunphy if she knew anyone in need of a pardon, telling her that he was selling pardons for $2 million, which he and President Trump would split. Oh, look, that is probably crap. That sounds like a ridiculous, frivolous lawsuit brought to just extenuate anyone who's around Trump. Miss Dunphy. Who is Miss Dunphy? Dunphy, Rudy Giuliani. Do we have picture of this girl? I want to see Noel Dunphy. Show me pictures. The media is not showing pictures. Noel Dunphy. Who is Noel Dunphy? Why did she end up having sex with Rudy Giuliani? Breaking, MAGA henchman Rudy Giuliani is hit with a stomach-churning sexual abuse lawsuit from a former associate alleging unlawful abuses of power, wide-ranging sexual assault and harassment, wage theft, and other misconduct. Oh my God. Another woman who fucked to escalate the corporate world, and when she regretted it, suddenly it's been declared a rape. I can totally see the story. She was there with her beautiful dress, and she was side by side with Rudy Giuliani, and having sex with Rudy helped her get the job she wanted and get the position she wanted to be an associate on whatever they were doing. And eventually, Rudy got tired of her for some reason. Perhaps she was not productive. Fired her. Didn't give her last salary. And it wasn't clear if he owed it to her. Now she's pissed and she's making these sexual allegations. Looks like consensual sex to me. Go away, says JF. I think you forgot to cover the Durham report. I'm headed there, but there was so many news to pass through that it's long getting there. I'm getting there. Elon Musk subpoenaed in JP Morgan Epstein case. Elon Musk was issued a subpoena in a lawsuit against JP Morgan Chase over the bank's alleged facilitation of Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking ring. Epstein may have referred or attempted to refer Musk as a client to JP Morgan. Doesn't sound like there's much to be feared on the side of Elon Musk here. Twitter has provided an explanation for their Turkey actions. They say, yeah, we did censor 409 tweets during the election. But that's because there was only 2 days left to the election, and we were convinced that the government was about to cut us from the internet in Turkey. So we chose to censor the 409 tweets instead of this outcome. And they say that they are complaining against this in court and that they really didn't want to censor the 409 tweets and that they are contesting these orders that they've received to censor them, but they are doing so in court in a way that will take time. Okay. Now, you wanted me to talk about the Durham report. Let's talk about it. The Durham report states that Clinton General Counsel Mark Elias declined to be voluntarily interviewed by the office. Elias was recently severed by the Democratic National Committee from representation. Look, I've read through basically half of the report approximately while shifting the pages very quickly. It's a long and painful report. What's painful about it is we see all of the links that Durham is making in the whole process of how the FBI handled investigations around Trump and how it was ultimately all bullshit. The data they were fed with by the Steele dossier, they ended up paying someone like hundreds of thousands of dollars for fake data. It was like they were buying shit, but they knew that this was shit that was bad for Trump, and so they were incentivized at wanting it. I don't learn much from this report that we didn't already know. The whole idea that the Steele dossier was crap, that there was a couple of players in the FBI getting together to make this a thing, this whole dossier, and paying the guy who got this information. And eventually what we find in this report that I didn't know, paying the guy after having had the information, basically to silence him about the fact that it was false. It seems to be what Durham is implying, that not only they paid a first payment to the guy, but then they made payments that were hard to explain, unless you have the hypothesis that they were essentially paying him to shut up about the fact that it was all crap, basically. To pay him to neutralize him, basically. One of the things that's interesting in this report is to see how much effort Durham has made to compare the attitude of the FBI with a similar case with Clinton versus a case with Trump. And they highlight a couple of differences in attitude. Now, it's very frustrating to read through this because you tell yourself, well, okay, Durham is seeing the double standard of the FBI toward the two parties. But there's no prosecution. Who is paying for this? Who is going to pay the price of having had those double standards? Is there a crime out there that we can prosecute that is having a double standard while being an agent of the government? Because what he highlights is that in the case of Clinton, what the FBI was doing is anytime they knew something about any Democrat, they would immediately organize a meeting with Clinton and they would be like, oh yeah, we have these DAPs. Do you know anything about this? And by doing so, they were revealing to the Clinton team, they were revealing through what they call defense meetings, they were revealing everything that they had against her or against any of her candidates or any of the people in the Democrat circle so that they could in advance know, oh, the FBI knows this about us. Maybe we're better stopping this. Maybe we're better doing that. Whereas with Trump, The whole investigation was done in secrecy and never informing the Trump team about it. Always excluding Trump on the basis that, oh no, he doesn't deserve these coaching meetings, you know. So Trump found himself isolated from the FBI. They were developing their whole paranoid investigation about him in a way that they wouldn't do against Clinton, because when it's about Clinton, they would meet with her and they would tell her what they had against her. Clearly an advantage here that Clinton had. Another case we learn about is that Hillary Clinton had the team of Hillary Clinton had accepted a payment from an FBI agent had recruited a foreign person to give to the Clinton team, and he had made sure that as he was doing it, that it was very clear between him and the team that, hey, I'm a foreign agent, so this is illegal, right? And it seems that they had all of the evidence that the Clinton team had accepted knowingly money that they knew where it was illegal. And what happened with this? Nothing. Nothing, because the FBI didn't pursue this as an interesting investigatory direction. And so you get to see here that the whole double standard of the FBI against Trump and pro-Democrats is definitely there. Durham exposed it. It's very clear how they do. But then it's super hard to think, how do we solve this? Who has committed the crime here? Is it the guy who's putting the Hillary Clinton story a little bit under the rug? Or is it the guy that's a little bit over-amplifying a Trump story that is kind of bullshitty and that it's pretty clear that it's bullshit? What's the crime? Who is the person who has committed the crime here? So that's why we find ourselves with very few action, very few prosecution by Durham. It's like all of these double standards are enacted in secrecy by people who know very well how not to get caught. That's what comes clear from this report. It's that each of the agents in there, they know what they're doing. They know it's criminal. They know it's intimidation, and it's all the hidden playing of intelligence forces in American life in an illegitimate way. But they know also how to make it look like that just happened. It's not anyone's fault. It's just a series of error here and a series of error here. But the series of errors always go against Trump, or they go pro-Clinton. So you have to basically derive what is the preferred direction of the FBI from the observation of these behavior. Just to show you how little these people believed in the whole story that they were investigating. There's a segment here talking about the British intelligence, and they're about to have a meeting about the Crossfire Hurricane story. Dude, are we telling them everything we know, or is there more to this? That's all we have. Not holding anything back. Damn, that's thin. I know. And so, and even he adds on a separate line, it sucks. UK Alat 1 went on to tell the inspection division that in discussing the matter with a senior British intelligence service official, the official was openly skeptical, said the FBI's plan for an operation made no sense, and asked UK Alat 1 why the FBI did not just go to Papadopoulos and ask him what they wanted to know. A sentiment UK Alat 1 told investigators that he shared. So again, when they are investigating on the side of Trump, they never talk to the person. They never warn them, hey, we're investigating you. Maybe you could clarify this or that. They go on these paranoid routes and they think, oh, we can't tell them about it, because if we tell them, they will know, and they will hide stuff from us. So you have the big problem here of paranoid state agents. And I've seen this so much in psychologists, sociologists, social workers, family court people. They have such a fear of the alpha male that they imagine the worst possible interpretation of all facts when it's a male. And they won't ask the male. They're like, oh my God, there must be some racist, sexist, misogynist hidden in there. They don't want to know. And they're doing the same with Trump here, but at the criminal level, and Papadopoulos at the political level. They are accumulating impressions and beliefs that are just beside reality. That is a big problem of the modern world. We don't have clever, smart, rational people anymore. So who ends up in these positions are a bunch of dumb people. No choice. It's going to get worse. So that's my conclusion for the Durham report. There were a couple of highlights. First, Jim Jordan is asking for John Durham to come testify in front of Congress. I don't know if that will happen. James Wood is pointing out the ridiculous coverage of this by the Associated Press. That is a textbook example of how you title something when you don't want any attention drawn to it. Look at how the Associated Press titles this. A special prosecutor has ended his 4-year investigation into possible FBI misconduct in its probe of ties between Russia and Donald Trump's 2016 campaign. The report fell short of Trump's prediction he would uncover the crime of the century. Very unspecific wording. They don't even name it's the Durham report. A special prosecutor. It's like it comes out of nowhere. And when you use unspecific language in a title like this, it's because you don't want to drag any attention to it. Landolt Guntram says, once it is obvious they themselves do not believe the stories, yet keep going, intention has to be inferred. Or zombification. But we should not go there, should we? The zombification theory of the bureaucrats. I like it. Trump says there must be a heavy price to pay for Comey Democrats after release of the Durham report. Well, you don't have the tools to make them pay. I don't even know if you were president. The thing is, this has been from the beginning, we told you, Trump. You should have fired all these people while you were president. You should have fired the FBI as a whole. And when Congress says, well, you still have an FBI budget, you say, I'm giving you back your budget, I don't need it, no more FBI. You could have totally drained the swamp. You didn't do it. So now calling for justice today is very hard because each of these people have acted in ways where they knew they wouldn't get caught. They were just at the border of lack of fairness, and they were ensuring at all steps that still it looks like they may have had a justification to act the way they do. So when you have people like this, the only thing, you won't catch them in a crime. They know that they're being recorded. They know that all of their emails are on the record. They know that all of their speech is potentially on the record. So these people are not going to get caught in a crime. The only thing you could have done is fire them. Fire the whole FBI. But you didn't do it. FBI makes a statement about the Durham report. They have fixed all of these things since 2017. They have made dozens of changes to make sure that these things don't happen again. The conduct describes only things that happened in 2016 and 17. And we have been making the efforts to add rigor objectivity and professionalism that the American people expects. Something tells me nothing was fixed. Landolt Guntram says, indeed. However, if you fire them instantly, they will strike back instantly by declaring you a mental health case. And they have the media and doctors and crooked parliamentarians and so on. So it is not so easy. Well, if that's the case, then give up politics. Like, if you don't believe that you can make a bold move as a president, then becoming a president serves nothing. So in that case, just don't pursue this direction. Go Away says, the Durham report falls short of the blockbuster revelations and prosecutions that some Trump allies hoped for from the inquiry, BBC. Yeah, that's how they cover it. Trad Dad says, I work in DC for 20 plus years now. Trumpy used the same old bureaucrats as three-letter agency cabinet heads the last five presidents have. That is a huge problem. If I'm winning presidency ever, I'm making sure that I'm bringing radicals from the fucking forest of Canada. Like, hey, you're a lumberjack in a forest in Canada. I'm hiring you as my minister of finance. How about that? Your goal is to completely abolish the expenses of the government. Can you do this? Yes, no. But you don't want to hire the same people from the same circles. They are absolutely corrupt. That is all I had to say for today. Thank you for joining me. And do I have stuff on the schedule? I think we should plan the Patreon hangout. Now, I do have to go see the mechanic tomorrow. I shouldn't forget this. There's a TRP interview on the Blood Satellite podcast on the 24th of May. That's next Wednesday. How about we do the Patreon this Thursday, the 18th, in 3 days from now, on Thursday, Patreon show. Patreon, subscribe star, private hangout at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And you guys let me know if Thursday is a bad day for any of the people who attend regularly, but I think it should work. That is it for tonight. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow.